Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope?
Good evening and welcome to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu. This is a place where you do not pretend things are simple when they are not. And we do not pretend things are impossible when they are not either. Now, it's been a really busy day for me. I'm just coming in from Maidstone where I had an inauguration for my old girls association Smagoga UK, and I was seeing people I have not seen in a very long time. And you know what, I also was able to share my story with a few of my classmates and seniors, and you know, it's really impacted all of them. And I had a talk with a special person today as well, this morning, because the celebration started from yesterday. And you know, this is what organ donation has given me, a chance to see more people from way back from school and to really hang out with them. And this is the gift of organ donation. So my name is Hilaria Asumu, and today we're going to be having a conversation that I have been preparing for, not just in my notes, but in my bones for a very long time. Today, we are talking again about organ donation. And before you switch off because you've heard that word, before that quiet resistance begins to rise in you, I want you to stay. Not because I'm asking you to agree with everything, but because you deserve to hear this conversation told with honesty, with care, and with respect for who you are and where you come from. If you're listening to me right now, my Smagoga sisters, I am hailing all of you. Thank you for a wonderful evening. And I've just stepped down from the train and come right into the studio because I know that you're all going to be tuning in. So this topic tonight touches faith. It touches tradition. it touches grief and fear, and the places inside of us where distrust has built up over years, sometimes over generations. I know this community, I am part of this community, and this conversation is long overdue. I want to tell you something before we go any further. I'm not just your host today. I am not just a broadcaster who found an interesting topic and decided to explore it. I am a woman who has sat on a hospital bed and wondered whether tomorrow would come. I'm a woman who waited, and I do mean waited, for 10 years, for the gift of a second chance at life, a gift of a kidney, and for the gift of more life, not just with my children and my husband, but with people like you who make it so much worthwhile that I am alive today. And not to forget my sisters and my brothers, and most especially for my friend Onyebuchi Odiaka, who stepped forward all those years ago to donate to me. Though she didn't become my donor, I want to appreciate her for taking that bold step. So as I go into this session today, I want to implore you, whether you are my sister from Goretti, or my sister within the community, or a friend, anywhere you are, I want you to take a pause and listen into your heart, listen into your soul. What is it telling you? My story started almost 18 years ago now. In a few days' time, I'll be 8 years post-transplant. I received my transplant in 2018. And the kidney I carry inside today, the one that allows me to sit here, to breathe, to speak to you, to raise my children, belonged to someone who is no longer here, my donor, Ryan. His family made a decision in the worst moment of their lives, and that decision gave me back mine. So this is not an abstract issue for me. This is not statistics on a page. This is my life. And it is the lives of thousands of people across this country I have adopted as my own, the UK. Many of them Black, many of them African, many of them Caribbean. They are all waiting right now, today, as you listen to this program. So let's go there. Let's go to the places this conversation usually avoids, and let's do it together. Here is Ayo by Simi. And before we begin in full, let us allow this carry us in. Let it remind us that what we are about to discuss, it's not about death, it is about life. I'll see you back here in a minute. Don't go away.
I no go lie, nobody go fit to do the thing where you do. As I call you mama, I go call you superwoman too. Sunshine in my life. Oh mama, I tell you everything
Ayo by Simi. I hope you enjoyed that. There is something about that song that settles the air. It's very quiet. It's you're soft and it just brings you, puts you in the mood for what is going to come next. I want us to begin this hour carrying that feeling, the feeling that we are held, that we are not alone, and that what we are doing here matters. Let me start with what I know to be true. A lot of resistance that exists in our communities around organ donation does not come from a lack of care. It comes from a lack of clear information. And that is not our fault. For too long, this conversation has been happening without us or above us or around us, but never really with us. So I want to be the person who sits down and has this conversation with you properly. No jargon, no pressure, just clarity. Organ donation is the decision to allow your organs or the organs of someone you love to be used to save the life of another person after death. The organs that can be donated include the kidneys, the liver, the heart, the lungs, the pancreas, the small bowel, and tissues such as corneas, skin, bone, and heart valves. I know, that's a lot. You know, our Lord is wonderful. He made us in such a wonderful and beautiful way. In the United Kingdom, the law changed in 2020, the 20th of May 2020. This means that in England, the system now operates what is called an opt-out system, and it's sometimes called Max and Kira Law, named after a 9-year-old boy at that time. Max is now an adult. He's actually heading to university, I think, this September. And Max's surname is Johnson. His mom is my friend. His life was saved by a heart transplant by a young girl who was killed in an accident. Her name was Kira Ball. And both family are now very firm friends for this whole donation that took place, saving Max's life. Under this law, all adults over the age of 18 are considered to be potential donors unless they have actively chosen not to be. But here is what I want you to really hear. Your family still has a say. If your family does not know your wish, that uncertainty can lead to organs not being used. And this is why this conversation today, the one in your home, with your partner, with your parents, with your adult children, is the most important part of all of this. You can register your decision to donate or not to donate on the NHS Organ Donor Register. The website is www.organdonation.nhs.uk, and I will come back to that again later in the program. I simply want to plant it there so it sits with you. Now, let me speak to some of the things I hear most often. The first one is this: if the doctors know I'm a donor, they won't try as hard to save my life. I understand where that fear comes from. I truly do. This community, our community, has had real experiences of being treated as less than by the medical establishment, the healthcare system. From Windrush to maternity mortality statistics to the long history of black bodies being experimented on in the name of medicine, the distrust is not imagined. It is inherited. It is documented. And it is real. And I refuse to stand here and dismiss that history. No, I do not. Instead, it adds to what I'm going to say today. What I will say is this. The medical team that treats you is entirely separate from any organ donation process. These are different teams bound by different duties, operating under strict legal frameworks. Your doctors are there for you. The organ donation coordinators only become involved after the decision has been taken that nothing more can be done. These two things cannot by law overlap. The second thing I hear is this. Organ donation is against my religion. And I want you to sit with that respectfully for a moment, because faith is not a barrier to engage with. It is a foundation to stand on. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Sikhism, Hinduism, the major faith traditions represented across African and Caribbean communities. None of them categorically forbids organ donation. In fact, most of them have statements affirming it as an act of compassion, an act of charity, an act of love for a neighbor you will never meet. In Christianity, and many of us in this community were raised Christian, whether we practice or not, there is a long theological conversation about the re-resurrection of the body. The fear is often, if my body is not whole, can I rise? To that, I want to offer this gently. Our faith teaches us that God is not limited by our biology. The God who created us from dust and breathed life into us is the same God who is not confounded by the absence of a kidney. Get that? He is not confounded by the absence of a kidney, whether you have a kidney or not. When that day comes, you will rise. Resurrection is not a surgical process. It is a divine one. And I do understand about, you know, the fear, doctors are not going to look after you properly because you sign up to the organ donor register. But I want to tell you now, today, that when you do set yourself up to do good, you get paid back on that last day when they're asking you what you've done on earth. You can say, I thought about my brother or my sister. I followed the commandments of God. I loved my neighbor as myself. Now, I know some elders in our community feel differently, and I'm not here to override the spiritual authority in anyone's home. I'm here to say this conversation is worth having within your faith, with your pastor, with your imam, your elder. Let them speak into it and let the conversation begin. In our next segment, we talk about the things we do not say outright. There are things we carry in our community that we do not always have language for. There is a grief that comes with watching someone you love decline, not knowing what to do. There is a helplessness that turns sometimes into silence. And silence in our culture is often not emptiness, it is protection. We do not talk about certain things because talking about them feels like inviting them in, you know. When you want to talk to your father or your mother and tell them to write a will, they tell you, you want to kill me? You know, things like that. Death, illness, dependency, these are not comfortable subjects around the table. You do not bring up kidney failure at Christmas dinner, do you? You do not tell your mother that you have been putting off a scan. You do not tell your father that you are scared. I know this. I lived this for 10 years. I managed my illness quietly. I showed up, I carried on, I sat in church every Sunday with my children. I made sure they were active in the faith community. I made sure everything looked held together from the outside. Even when inside, I was not sure. I believed any of it was going to be reality. I was not sure I would live for as long as I am living today. There was a period, a very long period, when I lost my faith entirely. I totally lost it. Not loudly, not dramatically. I did not storm out of the church. I did not stop praying out loud. I simply stopped believing that the prayers meant anything. But I just went along with it. I was sitting in the pew and the words were leaving my mouth and they were going nowhere. That's what I believed. Because I had asked God to heal me, and years were passing and the answer was silence. And I felt he had abandoned me. The waiting list was long. They had gone through all the cycles. Each time, every year, they go through the cycle. I and Onyebuchi were in that, circle, waiting to be called. And I became tired. I gave up hope. I didn't want to do anything. I was just waiting to die. I'm telling you this not for sympathy. I'm telling you this because someone out there is listening right now, knows exactly what I am describing. You are still showing up. You are still going through the motions. And somewhere underneath all of that effort, you have quietly begun to wonder whether you have been forgotten by God. I want to tell you now, you are not forgotten. You are being prepared for something you cannot yet see. I want to pause here and share a story with you. As I said at the beginning of the show, I was at the inauguration ceremony of Smagoga UK, which is St. Maria Goretti Grammar School Old Girls Association, Benin City, in Maidstone. And one of the ladies there is my older sister's very good friend from way back. And she's giving me permission to share the story. Her name is Christabel Oyaide. Christabel came to me last year, around the time my father died. And she told me that she'd been diagnosed with kidney disease. And she was at stage 3. And she was asking, what do I do? They said, I cannot reverse this. What can I do, Hilaria? Because already I'm in the community, in the Black community, in the African Caribbean community, I support a lot of our brothers and sisters who have been diagnosed with kidney disease. So most of the time, it's either the hospital is referring them to me, or they are coming to me themselves, or they're being referred by their family or nurses. You know, quite a lot of people come through me. So she's seen me on this, my show. And she came and she was speaking to me and saying, what do I do? And I told her, I said, you know, the doctors have said theirs. If you have faith in God, pray. You can reverse it. Look at me. The doctors told my husband I would not make it through. If I don't come out of the coma I was in, they were going to turn the machine off. On the day they were going to turn the machine off, I woke up. But this morning, Sister Christabel told me something that a lot of people would not believe right now. She went back for her tests. After all of that, all the fear and everything, she went back for her tests. And when the results came back, her kidneys were improving. She had dropped from 3 to 2. And she was asking me, what do I do next? I said, keep doing what you're doing. Gentle walking, eating healthy. You would have a testimony to give. And I'm so happy I'm able to share the story, because a lot of us don't have faith. You have to believe. Whilst you're keeping within the instructions or the medicines that the doctors have advised, the doctors have given to you, believe in God that He is going to do something, and do not shake from that. Do not despair. You can never be forgotten when you hold on to Him. And that is what I understand now, because when I lost my faith, I gave up totally. That is what my transplant taught me. Not just about medicine, but about time, about the distance between where we are and where we are going, about how God sometimes works in years, not moments. But I want to speak honestly about the fear that comes with organ donation, that goes even deeper than theology. There is a cultural fear, particularly strong in Nigerian and Ghanaian communities, and in many Caribbean communities too, that there is something spiritually compromised about a body that has been opened in that way, that the dead person's spirit is unsettled. That is disturbing that you are disturbing the passage of the departed. That family is not at rest. These beliefs deserve to be named. They are real, but they are held by people who love their families deeply and who are doing their best to honor them in death as they did in life. I'm not here to mock that. Not at all. Because it is how you feel. We have to hold that quietly and gently. But I am here to ask, where did this belief begin? Is it written in your scripture, or did it come from somewhere else? From fear? From colonized medicine? From watching black bodies being used without consent and building protection around our dead because we could not always protect our living? These are serious questions, and they deserve serious, unhurried thought. In Nigeria, the conversation around organ donation is still in its very early stages. Every week I get at least 4 emails asking for help, for somebody to have an organ transplant, a kidney transplant, and that cost about 40 million naira. The infrastructure in Nigeria is still developing. This is for my Nigerian brothers and sisters who are listening right now, because I know you're listening to me, whether you're in Nigeria or you are here in the UK. We are all moving. We are a global village, and this affects you as well. The legal and medical frameworks are inconsistent in our country. So when people from that background encounter organ donation in the UK, they often bring the assumptions and the gaps of the home country with them, without realizing that the context here is very different. The system is not perfect, but it is regulated, it is transparent, and families do have a voice within it. And for our Caribbean brothers and sisters, the history of the body in the Caribbean context carries additional weight. The memory of the plantation is not ancient history. It is in our grandparents. It is in our language. When you tell a Caribbean elder that someone will be cutting into a body after death, you are activating something that sits much deeper than the medical conversation. You are touching a memory of having no control of being used, of being disposable. That is why trust matters more than information in this conversation. We are going to open the lines now. I want to hear from you, and I mean really hear from you. Has this conversation come up in your family? Did it go well? Did it shut down before it even started? Maybe you have a question you have never felt safe asking out loud. The lines are open. This is a safe place. Come talk to me. The number to call is 0744-881-1570. You can text if you don't want to call in. And it's okay if, you know, if the phones are quiet right now. Sometimes we need to sit with something before we can speak. Let me keep going and the lines stay open. Come when you're ready. That number again is 0744-881-1570. I'm waiting for you. I want to hear those questions so I can help you dispel any misgivings that you have. So whilst we're thinking and reflecting, here is Two Baba with Mama Di Mama. As we know, our mothers, they always have our backs. For all of us who grew up watching our parents carry things they never spoke about, this one is for the ancestors of silence and the courage it takes to speak. Don't go away. See you back here in a minute.
I no go lie, nobody go fit to do the thing where you do. As I call you mama, I go call you superwoman too. Superwoman too. Every night and day, I dey happy say you come my way. Mama, nobody fit, and now I have something to say. I say you are the sunshine in my life. Oh mama, I tell you everything, everything gonna be fine. Oh mama, di mama, oh mama, di mama, mama di mama, mama di mama, oh mama di mama, mama di mama, mama di mama, oh mama di mama, 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 mama with.
I hope you enjoyed that song from Two Baba, Mama Di Mama. Some music don't just entertain you. They reach in and name something you have not had words for. That is what we are doing here today. We're finding words together. And the next part of this conversation, I think, is the most important one. We're rebuilding trust. What trust looks like when it's been broken. I'm not going to pretend that the NHS is a perfect institution. I'm not going to pretend that the medical system in this country does not carry a racial history that has harmed Black people. I'm also not going to pretend that those experiences do not live on in the bodies and the memories of people in this community. But I want to ask a different question. Not, can we trust the system completely? But rather, who benefits if we do not engage at all? I always ask this question. The answer to that question is uncomfortable. Because right now, at this moment, Black patients in the UK wait significantly longer for kidney transplant than white patients. I want you to sit with that. This is not because the system intends it, but because organ matching depends on tissue compatibility. And tissue compatibility is more likely between people of similar ethnic backgrounds, which means the more Black and mixed heritage donors are registered, the shorter the wait becomes for Black and mixed heritage recipients. I waited 10 years, couldn't find anybody. Not my family, not my friend, nobody. It took them 10 years to find a donor for me. In other words, our reluctance to engage is costing our own people their lives. Not the system's reluctance, ours. We do not donate. We do not even want to consider it. I say that not to shame anybody. I say it because it is the truth. And we deserve the truth right now. And I know that truth because I sat on that waiting list. I watched as the years passed. And I know that some of the people who were waiting alongside me did not make it to the other side of that wait. Our community's silence on this issue is not protecting us. It is costing us lives we cannot afford to lose. Now, what does it look like to rebuild trust? Not blind trust, not naive trust, but informed and active trust. In a conversation like this one, it starts with representation. And slowly, that is beginning to happen. There are Black doctors, Black organ donation nurses, Black patient advocates like myself now speaking into the spaces. There are community conversations happening in churches, mosques, and community centers. The conversation is shifting. And you are part of that shift by listening right now. It also starts with knowledge, knowing your rights, knowing that you can include conditions in your registration, knowing that your family can override a decision, which is why talking to them matters a lot. Knowing that you can specify which organs you are willing to donate. And also, knowing that donor families receive care and support. That religion and donation can coexist. Truly, they can. And it starts with stories. Stories like mine. Stories like my sister, Sister Christabel Oyaide. With people like me who have been on both sides of silence, the silence of the patient and the silence of the community, and taking that bold step and deciding to speak out. And I do that every day alongside other kidney patients, Black kidney patients who are so grateful for receiving a transplant. I think about the person who's kidney I carry, Ryan. I do not know their race. I do not know their religion. I do not know their family. But I know that somewhere, someone's family said yes in the worst moment of their lives. And because of that, I'm here. I have watched my children grow. I have seen my younger sisters who were teenagers when I started out become mothers, get married, have children. I even went and did Omugwo like 5 times. I never thought I would do that. And you know, I am here today. I'm watching my children grow. I'm seeing them achieve what they were meant to achieve. I have laughed, I have cried, I have had second chances, which is why this program carries the name it does. being given a second chance by somebody you don't know is something that is very heavy. It is a responsibility that I felt I needed to take forward. That kind of generosity does not belong to one culture or one faith. It is a human instinct. The instinct to make something good come from something devastating. And I believe, I truly and deeply believe, that instinct lives in this community too. I have seen it in our funerals, where we organize food for hundreds of people overnight. I have seen it in how we show up when someone is sick. I have seen it in how we raise other people's children as our own without being asked. The generosity is already there. The question is whether we are willing to extend it into this particular space. I would love to hear from you now. Maybe you've been touched by organ donation, someone who received, someone who donated, a family who had to make that decision. You don't have to share your name. You don't have to have it all figured out. I just want to hear where you are with us. The lines are open, 0744-881-1570. Let me keep sharing, and I trust that some of what I'm saying is landing somewhere important, and we will check those lines again shortly. Here is I Testify by Ada. There's something about testifying, the act of saying this happened to me and I survived it and it changed me. Let the song hold that space for us now. I'll see you back here in a minute. Enjoy. That was Testimony by Ada. I hope you enjoyed that. And in reflecting, I hope you are making up your mind to sign up to the Organ Donor Register. All you have to do is go to www.organdonation.nhs.uk and record your decision. And when you've done that, please have a talk with your family so that they can ensure that your wishes are adhered to if you are not in a position to do that. We are carrying something heavy today and we are carrying it together. That is exactly how it should be. So let's keep going. So let's calm down from the emotional altitude for a moment and talk practically. Because understanding something is not the same as knowing what to do with it. And I want you to leave today's program with something that you can actually use. Let me start with the register. The NHS Organ Donor Register is the official database where you record your decision about organ donation in England, Wales, and Scotland. The website I have just read earlier on is organdonation.nhs.uk. You can register in just 2 minutes. You can also update or remove your registration at any time, so you're not forced to stay on. That is how beautiful the system is. It is not a contract. It is a preference, so you decide. And it is a preference that you can change, amend, and review at any point in your life. You can register to donate all organs. You can register to donate specific organs only. You can also register not to donate. All these choices are valid. And those choices are also honored. The point is to make a choice and then tell your family what that choice is. That family conversation is the piece I want to spend a little time on, because in my experience, it is the conversation that is most avoided and the one that matters most. How do you begin with it, you might say? You might say, I heard something today and it made me think, have we talked about what we would want if something happened to us? That is the start of the conversation. That's enough. You don't need to have all the answers before you start the conversation. You just need to start it. Some families find this easy, others will find it deeply uncomfortable. If you are in a household where illness and death are not spoken about, and many of us are, there's this discomfort that's there. You are not doing anything wrong by raising it. You are doing something very brave. For those with elderly parents or grandparents who may be resistant, approach it with patience. Do not try to change their minds in one sitting. Plant a seed, let them sit with it, and come back to it later. The goal is not agreement, it is understanding. What do they believe? What is that belief rooted in? Is it scripture? Is it fear? Is it something a pastor said? Is it a story they've heard? When you understand the root, you can engage with it gently and honestly without dismissing it. I also want to speak to those of you who have children who are waiting for a transplant or who have been told that a family member needs one. This is a different kind of conversation, one where the stakes feel unbearably high and the time feels impossibly short. If that is your situation, please know that there are support networks like WSH BME Kidney Network. There are Black-led patient advocacy groups, there are charities and NHS liaison workers who specifically support families from ethnic communities. You do not have to navigate this alone. Please don't. And for those who have already lost someone who had to sit in that room and make that decision while you were still in shock, still in grief, I want to acknowledge you today. That decision, however it went, came from love. And if you said yes, you may never fully know what that yes made possible in someone else's life. But it was not in vain. It was never in vain. Now, I want to speak specifically to the Nigerian community for a moment, particularly those of us in the diaspora who still have strong ties to Nigeria. Organ donation in Nigeria is at a very early stage of development. There is limited infrastructure, limited legislation, and enormous mistrust, much of it justified by the weakness of the healthcare system overall. I'm not here to tell you that the conversation in Nigeria is same as the one in the UK. It is not. But here is what I would say. The conversation has to start somewhere, you sit. In Salford, in Birmingham, in Lagos, or in Accra, you have the power to start it in your own home. the change in the diaspora often travels home. When we begin to understand imposing a foreign idea, but as family members who love the people they left behind and want them to have access to more, we need more life, more time, more second chances. I'm looking at the time and we don't have much time. So I'm going to go straight to the conclusion, because I believe that this is something that we need to sit with and we need to talk more about. We came into this hour from a lot of different places. Some of you were curious, some of you were resistant, some of you were sitting with a question you have never felt safe asking anyone. Some of you are caring for someone who is waiting, and some of you are still grieving because you've lost somebody. And I want to say to every single one of you, I see you. Whatever brought you here, you were supposed to be here today. So let me summarize what I want you to carry out of this conversation. Organ donation in the UK operates an opt-out system. You are considered a potential donor unless you actively register otherwise, but your family still has the final say, which means the conversation at home is everything. Register your wishes at organdonation.nhs.uk and tell the people you love what those wishes are. That is the single most powerful action you can take today. Your faith is not a barrier to this conversation. It is an invitation to go deeper, to ask what your tradition teaches about the gift of life, about generosity, about the neighbor you will never meet. Most traditions will lead you to the same conclusion, that love does not stop at our family table. The mistrust in our community is real and it is earned. But engaging with this conversation, educating ourselves, talking to our families, registering our wishes is one of the ways we protect our own. Black patients wait longer for transplants. Black donors can change that. We hold more power in this than we have been told. And for those of you who are waiting for a transplant, for a diagnosis, for an answer, or for a second chance of any kind, I want to speak directly to you for a moment. There is a season in my life when I sat in God's waiting room and felt completely alone. When the faith I had built my family around felt hollow to me. When I went through the motions, not because I believed, but because I did not know what else to do. And I did not want my children to see me falling apart. I did not know that the waiting was not punishment. I did not know that in those years, something was being woven together that I could not yet see. I did not know that the kidney that would give me back my life was connected to a story I had no part in. The miracle was always on its way. It just took longer than I thought I could endure. And I endured it anyway. If you are in that place, hold on, not blindly, not without help, hold on with honesty. Tell someone you are struggling. Find your community, let people in, and take one step at a time. And if this program has been valuable to you, please share it, share the link, share with your neighbor, share it with that auntie who you know needs to hear it, share it with your pastor, share with anyone you think is carrying a question they haven't yet felt safe to ask. I will be back next week with another conversation that I hope leaves you more information, more connected, and more ready to act. Second Chances is here every week because second chances are what this community deserves and what this program is built to support. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for staying. Thank you for bringing your questions and your resistance and your faith and your doubt. All of it belongs in this room. None of it is needed to be cleaned up because you walked in. You are loved, your life matters, and the lives of the people waiting for a second chance, they matter too. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and keep talking. Here is Water Carry Me Go by Adekunle Gold, and I will see you next week. Good night.
If I lie for your love, who die now? Water carry me go far, far away. Baby, if you let me, girl, I can make it rain on ya.
Make it rain on ya.
If you love me, girl, I can drop the fame for ya. Some boys, you know, try to show you, say, I love you, baby. I go put my life on the line. I carry your love for my head, oh,
for my head, oh, baby.
Every day and night, last time, but do
I go be new?
If I like